This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
.03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Stearin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and welcome to Sports Saturday here, the first Saturday in November. And David, it would have been, I think, the second round of the football playoffs today, and the weather would have worked quite nicely.
Very nice day for November.
Yesterday was just weird, walking around in a t-shirt all day, just totally comfortable. Like, it was a very pleasant but strange November day.
It's going to be like that the next few days. I'll get into that more at 9:15 during the radar weather forecast. But, yeah, the next few days won't seem very much like November.
They won't. And, you know, like a day like this, there's been plenty of playoff days that had weather like this. But when you have a day like this and you have no playoff games, it just makes you kind of really long for football.
Well, it's,
or at least it does me.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that we haven't had a high school sports since, what, February or March? Just because it seems like the weather this year has been phenomenal. Like in the spring, I don't think it was exceedingly wet in the spring. I could be misremembering, but it seemed like it was really nice in the spring. And then the fall, obviously, was really nice weather as well.
As far as springs go in Illinois, it wasn't as wet as it could be from a sports perspective. We think about the fall. I mean, we basically went 2 months with no rain.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fall season would have had very limited interruptions. We'll see what spring of 2021 is going to hold. But, David, the back and forth continues to still get basketball going in the state this winter. And earlier this week, about 200 superintendents from around the state sent a letter to Governor Pritzker basically asking for, I guess, a sit-down, if you will, to try to come up with some sort of plan. They not necessarily a straight sit-down in the true sense of the word, but they want some sort of plan from the state, the public Department of Public Health, and the schools to get something going. Now, local schools that were signed on to this letter, Carlinville, Litchfield, Nokomis, Staunton, Vandalia, North Mac, Southwestern, Pena, Greenville, Mulberry Grove, Greenfield Northwestern, Jersey, and Pawnee were among the 200 schools that signed on to this letter. And, David, I mean, the points that they make in the letter are just kind of straightforward, that with everything that's gone on, that these administrators are starting to see negative mental side effects here from this pandemic in the kids.
Right. And, yeah, I didn't read the letter fully. I kind of skimmed it, read parts of it. in more detail than other parts of it. But yeah, you're right. It seemed like they were trying to say that, hey, we believe we have a plan where we can conduct winter sports safely, and to the benefit of the kids and everyone involved. And it also seemed like more so they were trying to, or instead of maybe getting a sit down with the governor, it was more so, hey, can we work with the Department of Public Health?
Right.
And can we have some cooperation there? Because that was one of the biggest knocks earlier, whenever the governor and the Department of Public Health announced their changes prior to the winter sports season beginning, was that there wasn't any consulting by local school districts involved. It was just uniform from the governor's office and from the Department of Public Health without any consultation from school officials. So that's what it seems to me that this letter is, the biggest takeaway from this letter is they are trying to have school input with the Department of Public Health before any kind of decisions are made.
And so I will read the, I guess, the three main points that the letter was trying to get across to the governor. So the first point they were saying, school districts have shown that when given the opportunity, we rise to the challenge and find the delicate balance between health and safety of our school communities while providing for continuity of learning. Districts this summer created a plan, adhered to state safety measures, implemented cleaning protocols, and made decisions in the best interest of our students during the COVID-19 pandemic. That was their first point. Second point, school districts are creative. We continue to find ways to connect with students, teach them, and provide opportunities for participation and to hold special events. Schools have students learning in remote, blended, and in-person environments. We have made special events such as graduations, parking lot proms, drive-through celebrations, senior recognitions, and much more happen safely. Parents have become our partners in even deeper and more meaningful ways. Now, their final point here says, in most instances, positive cases found in schools come from outside of the school. We take the safety of our students seriously. When it comes to athletics, schools will provide a safer environment with procedures and accountability with more fidelity than a travel or club program every single time. Without the opportunities in our schools, students will play for unregulated clubs and travel teams while traveling out of the state to do so. And David, I think that last point is probably the most interesting point from an athletic perspective. And the point is, if high school sports don't play this winter, it doesn't mean that high school kids in Illinois aren't going to find a way to play this winter.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing, that because the IHSA has basically left it up to the individual schools, whether or not the individual school districts decide to, each district, I guess, decides to play or not, or if the governor's office or the Department of Public Health or the State Board of Education, whoever the body is that's higher up, decides to shut things down. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with players, because like you said, the players are going to play. Players are going to play, I mean, regardless, one way or another, whether it's here in the state, under the IHSA and again in within school-related activities, or whether it's in the state, non-school-related activities, or if they're flat-out going to leave the state and play other ways.
Yeah, and I have not seen data that talks about, you know, the transmission in the game,
yeah,
in the actual sport. You know, Team X plays Team Y. Team X had a player who was positive, and now that got transferred to Team Y during the game. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but I haven't seen or heard cases of that happening. And the letter makes the point that most of the positive cases in the schools come from outside the school.
Yeah.
But that in and of itself, we're not in a vacuum here. You know, there's not going to be a bubble instituted. So, yeah, the athletes are going to have to go outside of the school, go home, interact with family and whatnot. And then it's the same thing we've been battling the whole time. What's the balance of the two? I don't have an answer. You know, I have no idea.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we're talking about basketball here. I mean, we say winter sports, but basketball is really it's the one that we're talking about. Wrestling, I know you had a conversation with Chance Davidson, Litchfield head coach, head wrestling coach. Wrestling, I think, would just be too difficult. I don't know if there's a way they could conduct wrestling in the winter. I don't know. I could be wrong. But
well, no, I mean, that's already been moved out.
Right.
You know, that's been moved in to what the summer season, I think, is when it went. Maybe it was the spring season. I can't even remember.
I think
now.
It's summer. I think you're right.
I think it's summer.
I think they were
well.
Talking about choosing between baseball and track as well.
That's right.
But yeah, basketball is the one that we're talking about. So, regardless of what happens, I don't think we're going to see fans in gyms. I think that's probably a safe bet. I could be wrong, but, I don't think we're going to see many fans in gyms, in this basketball season. The biggest thing I think is getting the players on the court.
That's the number one thing, you know, like high school athletics and participation, it has to be about the kids first and foremost. And if the administrators and the coaches, and they're putting the safety of the kids at the front of this. No one is trying to skirt safety protocols just in the name of getting kids to play. I mean, we've seen it. They're taking, like with the contact days, all the different things in the summer workouts that these coaches were doing to ensure the safety of their athletes. So That's not the issue. It's just a matter of really risk mitigation. It all comes down to legal liability. That hasn't changed, and that's not going to change. You know, if we get in the situation where we are now and nothing changes with the state and the governor, and the schools are left on their own without, you know, state clearance, for lack of a better term, I just find it hard to believe that a large chunk of schools are going to take on that legal liability.
Are they legally liable, though? Because this is sports. I mean, this is a volunteer thing. I mean, this is an optional thing. So
if the public school holds a season,
then players don't have to play, though. That's what I'm saying.
I understand, but then you probably get into. I remember seeing school districts in Missouri. They were having kids, their athletes had to sign waivers, basically signing away any liabilities for COVID. You know, so that would be the avenue.
Well, yeah, but that seems like that makes sense because, like I said, it's one thing for it to be schools, like an academic thing, classes or anything, because you have to have that. I mean, you don't want to not have kids taught or anything. But
right.
I mean, we're talking about sports and extracurricular activities and really volunteer optional things. So I would think the legal liability, I'm not a lawyer, so I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'll preface that here. But I would think that there wouldn't be much legal liability just because, again, players have the option to play or not. And I guess coaches, by the same token, have the option to coach or not, too. So.
Yeah, but it still comes down. I mean, that is the holdup right now, is with the basketball being classified as high risk and where the public health department stands, where the governor stands. And as of right now, that is the main sticking point, it would seem. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're going to talk with Greenville Athletic Director Joe Alstadt when we come back. We'll get his thoughts on this letter and kind of what he sees from his spot with Greenville. But the main purpose of the conversation is the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, as they have a who's who of speakers lined up once again this year. It'll be a 100% virtual clinic because of the pandemic. So we look forward to our conversation with Joe Alstadt when Sports Saturday rolls on.
9:16 on this Saturday morning. Time now for a check of your radar weather, which is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. And today we are going to see sunny skies throughout the day with a high of 71 degrees. It'll be mostly clear this evening with a low of 55. Tomorrow, Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 71 degrees, and then partly cloudy tomorrow evening with a low of 60. On Monday, partly cloudy throughout the day with a high of 73 degrees, and then about a 30% chance of rain Monday night with a low of 62. 30% chance of rain Tuesday with a high of 72 degrees, and then that chance of rain increases Tuesday night to 50% with a low of around 35. It is currently 56 degrees and sunny here at your WSMI Radar Weather Center. This radar weather check has been brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday returns following these messages. Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, going to have Joe Alstadt joining us here in just a moment. Fighting Illini football for you this afternoon as Illinois will be hosting Minnesota. We'll have live coverage beginning at 1:30 on WAOX 105.3 The Ox, and it will be fourth-string quarterback Caron Taylor again for Illinois as they are depleted and shorthanded, but we are seeing that across the landscape of college football. Wisconsin not playing for the second straight week because of COVID positives. The Pac-12, which is just kicking off their season this week, already has two games postponed because of COVID issues. And in college football, you have to have 53 scholarship players in order to be deemed safe to play. So that has been an issue that some of these college teams have been running into with their COVID-19 positive tests, is they run short of the number of scholarship players required. So we'll see if the Illini can pick up their first win today. 1:30 with the pregame, 2:30 kickoff on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. Coming up this winter, a mid-Illinois and central part of the country tradition, the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. Registration for the clinic is underway now, i70clinic.com. It will be a 100% virtual clinic this year. And they will have over 20 speakers, 35 plus sessions, and the clinic is set for January 17th and 21st. David just said he got the voicemail of Joe, which is strange because he just texted me and said he's ready whenever we are. So David, maybe try to give him another ring on the old cellular phone. It's always humorous to me in those. I got a voicemail the other day from like 4 days ago.
Well, I'm gonna ask you something on the air, so it might be a little awkward. Are you sure we have the correct number? Because when I left the voicemail, it said the person at this extension, and that immediately drew up a red flag, so it seemed like it was not a cell phone number.
Well, I mean, unless you dialed it wrong, David.
Okay.
Which is always possible.
It is.
But I think he's gonna give us a call.
I will try it again right now.
All right. So, the big speaker at the baseball clinic this year is not going to be Tony La Russa. Who would have thought that? It's going to be John Calipari, the Kentucky men's basketball coach, is going to be talking about putting your players first. And I'm always amazed with the speaker lineup they're able to put together with this coach's clinic. And it's usually obviously focused on baseball primarily, but I know the main theme and goal of the clinic is not necessarily just baseball. It's just coaching in general. And you see a lot of the topics that fall more in the line of leadership and kind of the how-tos, fundamentals, more so than just how do you win? That, you know, it's all the little building blocks to get to that point. And you got Tony La Russa. You got Mike Schilt speaking this year. Clint Hurdle is going to speak. Gary Gaetti, former big leaguer, is going to speak. And he just said he tried to call and it was busy, David. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to get, oh wait, hold on. This is the beauty of live radio. I always love it. I would bet David's paycheck that is Joe Allstott on the phone right now. And if I'm wrong, well, it doesn't matter because it's not my paycheck. While we have a moment, again, remind you that we got Fighting Illini football for you today, 1:30 on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. Illinois will be taking on Minnesota. And we have Joe Allstott on the phone. Joe, we played a little bit of phone tag here on this Saturday morning, but we finally got you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Tim. Appreciate it.
Hey, I always love to talk to you about the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, and we're going to. But first, I have to ask you about the letter that was sent to the governor, signed off by 200 superintendents, including Greenville's superintendent. I guess as you look at this whole situation as an athletic director, Joe, just what are you seeing? What are you feeling?
Well, I think ultimately you just want to see your kids on the field. You want to see your kids playing. You know, if parents see that there's a risk for their child and don't feel comfortable, then that should be their choice to not play. But I think most of the data shows that kids are safe. You know, there's very low risk for high school age kids and below. And I think the letter from the superintendent was just asking for a chance to get to the table with the governor and the IHSA, and just hoping to get a chance to talk and try to find a safe way to make it happen for this winter and this school year. And hopefully with the 200-plus names and signatures that are on there, that'll carry some weight, and hopefully that'll get done here very, very soon.
I mean, that certainly should get people's attention at the state level because, I mean, one thing we know about school administrators is they don't put athletics at any point above the health and safety of their students.
No, absolutely not. And you know, athletics is an extension of your classroom. So I like to think of education through athletics, and it's a big part of that. It's a big piece of that puzzle. And to not have kids be able to take part in that is tough. It's tough for me just to not be able to watch and just to see kids that you know should be out there performing and they're having that taken away from them. And that really bothers me, to be honest with you. So I just know how important it is for the well-being of a child and just memories that they can make in their high school career because they only get one. So
they only get, yeah.
You only get one shot. I got 4 years. And, you know, to have it taken away from a junior or senior is really, really tough to watch.
Well, we felt bad for the seniors last year for obvious reasons. But, boy, now you think about the juniors last year and seniors this year. They stand to lose potentially half of their high school career.
Yeah, it's not good. It's awful. You know, I really feel for them, and there's not a whole lot you can do. But, you know, having the contact days that we had and, you know, some sports were able to play in the fall, that gave them a little bit of a sense of normalcy. But hopefully we can get a whole lot more normalcy back here coming soon. And the governor and public health and IHSA and superintendents, coaches, ADs can sit down and figure this whole thing out, and we can get some sports going this winter into the 2021 year.
One final question on this, and Joe, you might not even be able to answer this or necessarily want to answer it, but as I look at it, it seems to me that the legal liability is the big sticking point right now for these schools, not necessarily wanting to go against the state in this spot. Is that how you see it, or am I off?
No, you're absolutely right. I think administrators or school board members probably see a huge potential risk there in case something would happen. And when you go against the recommendations of your governor or public health, that probably has some legal ramifications. And like you said, I'm probably not the most qualified person to answer that, but I would say that's definitely the sticking point for sure.
Talking with Joe Allstadt, the Greenville Athletic Director. And Joe, I know you spend a lot of time, obviously, with your duties as the AD. You do a phenomenal job with that. But you also have a big hand in the I-70 baseball coaching clinic. I don't know when you sleep or do other things because you are one busy fella. But this I-70 baseball coaches clinic this year has the potential to be the biggest and the best yet. And that is really saying something.
Yeah, I feel like we have the same conversations every year, you know, about that. And it's true that our speaker lineup has improved every year, and the number of people that are attending are growing every year. But this year, with the pandemic and the regulations that we have, we're not able to have with 50 people in a space, so that wasn't going to work. So we've got to do a virtual clinic, which is something I'm really foreign to, or was really foreign to, and had to do a lot of research on. But I hired a company to be the virtual platform, and they will provide the create the videos, pre-record videos of our speakers, and coaches that sign up for the clinic would have access to those videos for 6 months, and we'll start releasing them in January. But the one thing they told me is you better get a lot more speakers because, you know, typically, Tim, we have 4 or 5 speakers that come live into our school and do presentations, and he said, hey, if you want to sell a virtual clinic, you better get up 20 speakers and 30 sessions, and I thought, holy smoke. So, I got right to work on it, and, I found that, a lot of people are big-name type speakers are more willing to do a virtual clinic because they don't have to leave. You know, they can stay at their home and record something for 45 minutes, and then they're done. They don't have to travel. They don't have to fly. It takes a day or two to do all that if you're coming live. So, yeah, like you said, our clinic lineup is just silly to how impressive it is, and really excited about having it and see how it goes.
We'll get to John Calipari in a moment, because I think that was jaw-dropping for a lot of people. But you had told me during the summer when we ran into each other that you had Tony La Russa coming back. And, of course, this was way before he was named the manager of the White Sox. And to your point about this being virtual this year, in a normal year, La Russa might have had to back out because of spring training and the commitments. But virtual, you're not going to have that problem.
That's the hope. You know, it doesn't take much time. And Tony's been really good to us through the years, is well documented. You know, this would be his third time speaking at our clinic, and he's one of a kind, man. He was coming here before it was big and cool to come here. He kind of made it acceptable for the big time major league guys to come and speak here. So we're really indebted to him, and he's always taking good care of us. And now to see him back with the White Sox is awesome. I can't wait. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say, too, with our clinic. He's talking on leadership. So I can't think of many guys better to talk about that than Tony La Russa.
No. Well, to use his parlance, he's tied for first in the category of talking about leadership. Joe, I'm just curious, when it comes to the topics that the speakers, they choose their own topics, or do you have avenues you'd like them to go down? How does that process work?
you know, we kind of work together on that. I may propose something to them, but I also ask them, is there something else you'd rather speak on? You know, but, you know, a lot of times I know enough about them where I know where their strengths are. I know what I'd like. I know personally what I'd like to hear them talk about. Mm-hmm. And I probably, you know, propose it like that. But if they have something that they really want to talk about, I'm more than open to that as well. It's not a my way or the highway, because if they want to speak on a topic that I'm passionate about, then I'm all ears. You know, I'm listening to anything. So it's kind of a two-way street. You know, I kind of propose something, and we work together on it. And sometimes guys speak on two different sessions, or we got a couple guys that are speaking three times. So we really work together on that and try to put together the best lineup and try to cover all areas that we can.
Talking with Joe Allstott about the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. And, you know, it's a baseball coaches clinic, but it is a coaches clinic at the highest level. And you got John Calipari coming in this year, of course, the head coach of Kentucky. You also have Jay Billis that's going to speak in ESPN College Basketball. And so talk a little bit this year, virtual clinic, about those two additions, not baseball related, but, boy, they are going to provide a lot just in terms of coaching and relating.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, when you have so many sessions, it gives you some flexibility to maybe do some different things. And those two guys were the last two speakers we added. I was at home one night, and I just was just thinking, and I thought, man, that would be something outside the box. You know, those are some basketball guys that really can offer a lot to coaches of any sport. And I know Jay Billis wrote a book on toughness, you know, a few years ago, so he'd be a really good candidate, and that'd be a great topic to building toughness in your players. And yeah, just reached out, got an email, and he emailed me back a week later. And Calipari, I've always kind of liked him ever since his UMass days, and you know, I'm not just how he built the UMass program from nothing to something, and just kind of followed his career. But reached out to him, and this is a great story, but I emailed him at 9 a.m. and he emailed me back 12 minutes later saying, yes, I'll do it. And I thought, holy, that just floored me. Like, first of all, I didn't think the email was probably even going to be returned or even a little smaller chance that it'd be a yes. And here it was returned and a yes quickly. So he wanted me to kind of guide him through it. So we've actually already filmed his session. We filmed it last week on a Zoom call, and he and I were on a Zoom call for about 35 minutes and had all kinds of coaching questions and topics for him, and man, he was awesome. That guy can talk, man. He's phenomenal, and coaches will really like it. Coaches of any sport will like hearing from him, that's for sure.
Joe, for you, that was probably a little bit of a surreal moment.
It was really cool. You know, I thought I'd be a little nervous, but you know, once it started, you know, it's just two coaches talking and sharing, and you know, of course, I've seen this guy on TV, and he doesn't know me from Adam, but it's still really cool. And, you know, he's got a lot to offer, and you could tell he was, you know, he's a busy guy. He's got a lot of demands, and to think that he took 30 or 40 minutes, 45 minutes out of his day for me, for us, for our coaches clinic, that's kind of amazing. But, you know, especially as they're starting their college basketball season. So very, very grateful and very thankful, and, you know, hopefully we can maybe do more of this kind of stuff in the future.
Talking with Joe Allstott here about the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. You can register right now at i70clinic.com, and it is all virtual. And as you heard Joe say, you'll have access to all of the content for up to 6 months. And, Joe, so many speakers. You mentioned how being virtual, you added a lot more speakers. And I just see you got Clint Hurdle, you got Gary Gaetti. And then you have, I know Kai Correa is coming back. And I know you've spoken glowingly about his presentations in the past.
Well, I think it was Don Borgini one time that stopped me on the field one time and grabbed me by the shoulders and said, that Kai Correa was the best I've ever heard, you know? and he was here live just a few years ago, and he was phenomenal. And he just shot through the ranks of coaching, and now he's, you know, in the big leagues with the Giants as their bench coach. And this guy's like 32 years old, you know, he's a young buck, and, you know, he's got a huge future in front of him, but, you know, I'd love to bring him back every year. He's one of those guys that is such a good speaker and a good teacher, and he has unbelievable visuals, you know, PowerPoints and videos, and he just does a great job. So we reached out to him about speaking a couple different times. He's a defensive specialist, especially on the infield, and You know, he's really breaking it down. One of his sessions, he's going to speak 40 minutes on the slow roller, just coming to get the slow roller ground ball. That's it. I mean, that's how in-depth he's going to be. And his other session's on team defense. So he'll be really good, and we love Kai Correa.
I could not imagine speaking intelligently 40 minutes about anything, especially a slow roller, though. That's impressive.
Yeah, he's one of a kind. He's really good.
Joe, as you look at your other speaker lineup, I know you're proud of everybody you get in to the clinic, but I guess what will be some of the other highlights, if you will?
Well, personally, a highlight for me is one of my former players is going to speak, Cale Johnson, who was a Greenville High School graduate and played baseball at McKendree and was drafted by the Cardinals and has been a minor league pitching coach for the Cardinals for the last several years, and he's going to be a speaker for. He still lives in Greenville in the off season, but he's going to speak on pitching to your strengths. Right now, his title with the Cardinals is pitching strategist. So he's another one that's climbing through the ranks, and I would not be surprised to see him in a big league dugout some point here in the future. And, you know, he's a close friend of mine now, and he graduated high school 15 years ago. We've always stayed in touch, and he's got a great family, but just loved his family through the years. And I'm really excited to hear him. And a couple other guys in Greenville connections that we have is Nate Metzger. He's a Bond County graduate. Resident, and now he's an assistant coach at Wright State, and he's going to speak. And also Perry Ross, who used to be assistant coach at Greenville College, now at Greenville University, but he's now the head coach at University of Alabama Birmingham, and he's going to speak as well. But so we've got a well-rounded lineup for sure.
It's going to be fantastic, and again, all virtual this year. Now, Joe, do you suspect that maybe a virtual aspect will be involved in the future years, not 100% virtual, but with the ability to get these speakers lined up and recorded ahead of a time, that could be something to use as a percentage of the clinic in future years, potentially.
You know, I've had that question a lot here in the last few weeks. Without giving a lot of thought, I would think we could do some sort of a hybrid model, like you said. Mm-hmm. You know, have our live clinic that we always would, and then have another 8 or 10 different guys that have recorded a session to do it virtually, and if you come here, you get access to those as well, something like that. Mm-hmm. That could be appealing for sure, and it could be something we look at in the future, definitely.
Joe, give you opportunity here. I know a clinic like this, it doesn't just happen by itself. It takes a lot of people, and it takes backing from sponsors. Just take a few moments and talk about some of that, if you would.
Oh, sure. You know, I don't have it in front of me, but we've been really blessed with some great sponsorship. The St. Louis Cardinals have been a sponsor of ours probably the last 7 or 8 years. And they're with us again this year, and it's been such a good partnership with them. You know, some local flavor, Frank Watson's been a sponsor. Scott and Gayla Moore, who are Scott's a Greenville High School graduate, and they used to run NEVCO, have been sponsors for a long time. Pocket Radar, Rapsodo, just some baseball-specific products have been sponsor with us a long time and have been with us. And, you know, we couldn't do this without the sponsorships. You know, it takes a lot of money to have a clinic live. You're paying the stipends, you're buying flights, you're buying meals, all this kind of thing. So, and now when you have 20 plus speakers, that's a lot of stipends. And you know, some guys don't really want one or don't need a munch. But you know, we always try to take care of our guys and give them a thank you. But you know, 20 guys, that adds up pretty quickly. So we couldn't do it very well without sponsorship. That's for sure.
And people can register right now, i70clinic.com. I assume that's the easiest way to get it done.
Well, actually, I was going to correct you. We have to, I don't think my website is updated just yet, but you can go to i70.coachesinsider.com, and that's the registration page right there, because that's the company that's doing our virtual, and they're taking care of the registrations, which is great for me. So
that is good for you.
i70.coachesinsider.com. I checked the registrations the other day, and it looked like we had coaches registered from like 13 different states already, and you know, New Jersey and California, and that's something that we don't normally have from that far. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic now kind of, it takes care of itself, doesn't it? The word is out. You've had enough speakers from around the country now that after they leave and go back to their hometowns, the word is spreading about your clinic.
That is very true. You know, if I I go to the American Baseball Coaches Association convention as much as I can, and when I see people there or see and meet people there that find out that I help run the I-70 clinic there, and their eyes light up, like, how do you get these guys? You do a great, that's a great clinic, this and that. So the word is definitely out. People are aware, and it's kind of rewarding. It really feels good, but we're always trying to get better and make a better product for the following year, that's for sure.
Well, you're going to have a hard time topping your 2020 clinic next year, but you know what? I'm not betting against you, Joe.
We'll give it a shot. Hey, you asked about speakers. I'll tell you a guy that personally I'm really looking forward to hearing from is Tom House. Your listeners might remember Tom House as being kind of Nolan Ryan's pitching coach back in the mm-hmm. 80s at the Rangers and kind of the godfather of pitching mechanics, but he's a throwing guru. That's kind of what people call him now. He's the personal coach of Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Your listeners might have heard of those guys. They throw the football pretty well. So, to have Tom House, who is like the godfather of pitching mechanics, being able to speak at our place two times, that's going to be really cool. And I'm really looking forward to him.
Yeah, you've done it once again, Joe. The I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, all virtual this year. You can get registered at i70.coachesinsider.com. Joe Allstott, thank you so much for your time this morning, sir. Good luck with the clinic, and I sure hope I see you inside a gym at some point soon.
Let's do that. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. That is Joe Allstott, the Greenville Athletic Director and a big part of the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. And, David, every year I feel like when we talk about the clinic, we're blown away by the caliber of speakers that they're able to bring in. And then this year, when you wind up with John Calipari and Tony La Russa, it's like, yeah, well done.
Yeah, especially being able to keep La Russa after all of a sudden he's got a new job.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And I've heard of Tom Brady and Drew Brees.
You have heard of them?
I have heard of them.
I'm not sure. I think they're going to be kind of just like passing fads, like this internet thing. I just don't think they have the sustainability to do it over a long period of time.
They're just not going to last.
No, they just don't have that staying power.
What do you say, Tom House?
Yeah.
It was nice of him to be able to pick these guys up and give them some kind of publicity, help their boost their careers just a little bit.
Yes, that's right, because they were in need of that. They were struggling.
Right.
But this is just such a phenomenal clinic, and I know I've heard from our area coaches who attend it on an annual basis, and they just simply rave, not only about the speakers, but the class and the quality of which the clinic is ran. I mean, it is run like any top-notch clinic in the whole country. You're not going to find anything better. Might be as good. Again, the La Russa line tied for first.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many of our area coaches go, but if you are an area coach and you are on the fence, you're not sure if you should go or not. I mean, we just heard him say how Don Borgini raved about it, and Don is one of the best area coaches that we have. So, I mean, if he's going to rave about it, my goodness.
Right. Well, and you know, David, that's the thing, like, about coaches, especially the veteran coaches, I hear them say all the time about you're always learning. You know, no matter how many games you've won, how many years you've done it, there's always something to be learned from another coach. And the coaches who think they know it all and don't need help, they don't last very long.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure there's, you know, diversity of thought there as well. I'm sure different coaches have different perspectives on things. So it's not like you're going in and you have to have this certain philosophy in order to attend. I'm sure because there's so many great coaches that are speaking and great speakers in general, that you're going to get diversity of thought there.
Well, yeah, and there's so many different ways to do things, and you don't have to take 100% of what a person says. Maybe you just take a sliver. It's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that certain aspect from that perspective. Yeah. I'm going to utilize that. And that's what coaching comes down to, is the ability to be comfortable enough in your own skin to where you can say, I like that guy's idea. I'm going to use that.
Absolutely.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we got Fighting Illini football to talk about. And, well, the Cardinals, they're doing some things, not necessarily things that would appear to make them any better on the baseball field, but they're doing things. We'll come back following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. We got Fighting Illini football coming up 1:30 this afternoon, 2:30 kick from Memorial Stadium as Illinois will be hosting Minnesota. And David, it's been a strange start, I guess, for Illinois. They get waxed opening night against Wisconsin, just looked awful. And then they had the COVID strike them before their game last week, and they wind up with their fourth string quarterback. And isn't that about how it goes for a third string QB? Against all odds, you get your chance to start, show the coach what you can do, and you get hurt in the first quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems about right, especially for this year.
It really does. So we'll see what Illinois can do today. And you know, last week with your fourth string QB, you
still almost won.
I mean, now Minnesota is a step up from Purdue, of course, but you still had an opportunity late in that game to get the tying score. You just didn't get it done. So it's so hard to get a read on Illinois through two games. The first game they played so bad. You have to throw that out just because it was so bad. And then last week with all the different injuries and guys out, it's hard to get an accurate read on really where the team is. I have no idea what to expect.
No, yeah. Typically, your top programs in the country will open the season with an opponent like Wisconsin. Illinois is not one of those top teams in the country. They typically open their season with a smaller school.
A directional school, if you will.
Right, yes. They pay somebody to come get waxed.
That team that they paid a couple years ago actually beat them.
Yes, yes, exactly. So, yes, the opening game this year was not something Illinois is used to, playing an opponent having, you know, no game readiness heading into the Wisconsin game. So, yeah, you couldn't really get a read on them. And then, obviously, with COVID heading into last week, still can't get a read on them. It'll be a tougher test or a tough test again this week. It's just going to be an interesting year. I mean, this isn't going to be a fair season to judge what kind of progress the Illini program is making. I would say there's probably still going to be progress there, but I said it before the season started, wins and losses probably won't determine how or what kind of team this Illinois team is this year.
Well, no, I think that is exactly right. That, yeah, if at the end of the year you look at their record and think, boy, they just took a step back, we got to make some changes at the coaching level, I do think that would be a mistake, because to your point, in a year like this, the gains that they make are probably going to be gains on the practice field, mm-hmm. in film study, those intangible types of things that we as fans, we don't see on Saturday during the game.
Right. And that highly touted class that came in last year as freshmen, they're still just sophomores this year. So really next year would be the year where you kind of get that sense of where the program is at anyway. Yeah, I don't even remember what their Big Ten record was last year, what their conference record was last year. They were not a 500 team in the conference, I don't believe. I think they were only a 6-win team overall, isn't that right?
Yeah, they were 6-6.
Yeah, so and I think they probably had 2 or 3 non-conference wins, so not a lot of conference wins, I imagine, last year. So, and playing only conference games this year, I mean, you probably weren't going to have a huge margin of improvement.
No, that's exactly right. So 1:30 pregame today, 2:30 kickoff, Illinois hosting Minnesota on WAOX 105.3, the Yox. Let's switch gears, talk a little baseball. And, David, the Cardinals appear to be going cheap. They declined the option on Colton Wong. A couple days later, he wins his second straight gold glove. And I guess my thought when I saw that they declined the option and then their explanation, they tied in basically lower revenues because of COVID and all these different things, and they just seem to me to be laying the foundation of crying we're poor.
Well, after all, remember, before the season started, Bill DeWitt did say baseball's not a very profitable business.
Not a very profitable business.
Although the Mets just sold.
The beer I buy would speak differently.
Well, the Mets, I do believe, just sold for like $2.5 billion.
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
I guess, you know, David, a billionaire's definition of profitable might be slightly different than our definition of profitable.
It's true. It's true. I do get what he was saying, but you can't say what you said publicly.
Yeah, you can't say it like that.
Right.
But you know, when you look at the Cardinals, David, if they're trying to get better and they're seriously trying to contend, how does not picking up Colton Wong's option help that cause?
Well, it's interesting. You see, not picking up the option didn't surprise me because I thought, okay, they're basically just going to maybe restructure and maybe sign him to a two-year extension at a cheaper AAV, average annual value. That doesn't even appear to be the case anymore. As the time has passed from when they declined the option to now, it flat out seems like they aren't even, unless nobody has interest in him. And
I find that hard to believe.
Well, and that's not the case. He has teams that are interested in him, but unless there's just something that doesn't work out and the Cardinals somehow end up with all the leverage in the world, it seems like they're gonna lose him. So it doesn't make them better. I don't know, especially as much as their offense struggled. He seemed, especially the September and the snippet of October that they had, he seemed to really settle into that leadoff role. And I don't know what they're going to do at the leadoff position.
Well, right, and it seems to me Colton Wong under Mike Shildt finally found what type of offensive player he is. He stopped worrying about home runs. He started plugging gaps, hitting line drives, hitting balls on the ground, squaring a lot of different pitches up.
He started to remind me a lot of Fernando Vina.
Interesting.
Yeah, who was really good for the Cardinals in the early 2000s.
Oh, he sure was. Yeah. And, I mean, so a lot of questions. And I'll say this. If the $12.5 million that they declined on Colton Wong, if they declined it so they could move that money towards Yachty, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's a little
bit
more it's a little bit more manageable, but I don't even know if they're going to do that right now. It seems flat out that they're, again, I don't know. I mean, nobody has said anything, and the Cardinals typically don't say anything, so it's not any different than any other offseason, but I don't know what their plan is. I blame Mazalek and Gersh a lot. I have in the past for not going out and pursuing players. This offseason is very much different because I believe this offseason they are in fact hamstrung by the owner, Bill DeWitt.
Yeah, and this, all the extenuating circumstances this year, it's not normal. And,
right.
You know, we're kind of complaining about the Cardinals crying, pour this and that. But it is a fact that pro sports teams have less money because of no fans being in the stadiums than they normally do.
Well, and spending is going to be down league-wide. I mean, Trevor Bauer will probably get offered a significant contract. George Springer will get offered a significant contract. The third best free agent on the market right now is JT Realmuto. It'll be interesting to see what he gets offered because I think there's going to be a major drop-off between Springer and Bauer and Realmuto and the guys below that because Realmuto is still a good free agent. I don't think there's going to be a lot of there's not going to be years specifically are not going to be very high. Probably 4 years is the max anyone's going to get offered. Most guys will get offered 1 year pillow contracts, maybe 2 year. Those will be few and far between as well. But the high dollar amounts, they're not going to be there. It's a bad year to be a free agent. Poor Marcell Ozuna. You turn down a multi-year deal last offseason. You sign a one-year deal with Atlanta to prove yourself. You have a really good year, and the market is just garbage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, watching the playoffs, you see Ozuna doing it for the Braves. You think, yeah, he could have looked good in a Cardinal uniform. You know, there were so many ex-Cardinals in the playoffs offensively that were getting things done. And then you look at what the Cardinals offense didn't do, and it's like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, one of the main guys, Tyler O'Neill, I think he's one of the big reasons they let a guy like Marcell Ozuna go. They're very high on Tyler O'Neill offensively. But, David, he won a gold glove.
Yes, he did.
And he's a fine defender. But in a year where they used advanced defensive metrics, I just have a hard time believing that Tyler O'Neill was the best, I think, left fielder.
Well, he's a good defensive left fielder. I didn't know he played enough games, to be honest.
Right. Like, just, that really surprised me.
Yeah, because it seemed like down the stretch he wasn't playing at all.
Well, you know one thing I did like about these, the metrics being used this year, because normally the Gold Glove Award becomes an offensive award. Who had the best offensive year but was a pretty good defender? That was not the case this year. Javi Baez, who, I mean, there's really no debate that this dude is about as slick defensively as anybody in the game of baseball. But his offensive numbers this year were bad.
Yeah.
Bad. But he still won the Gold Glove at shortstop. I don't know if that happens in a regular year, but it was good to at least see the defensive player like that rewarded despite having a down offensive year. But with that said, I still understand how Tyler O'Neill won a Gold Glove.
Again, I mean, he got replaced by Dylan Carlson in the month of September, so I didn't understand him winning it. Just, I mean, congratulations to him, but again, yeah, I didn't think he played enough games. So
yes, it caught my attention. I had to do a double take to make sure. Like, Tyler O'Neill. Yes, that Tyler O'Neill for the Cardinals, Gold Glover.
Hey, before we go, can I propose a scenario for you?
Sure.
The Cardinals don't sign Yadi. Maybe pursue JT Realmuto on a one-year contract.
Yeah.
Improving your middle of the order and getting that bridge year between Yadi and Kisner.
I don't like it. I want Yadi.
Okay.
Nothing against Realmuto, but I want Yadi. I don't want to see Yadi in another uniform. That's just me.
Well, I don't either, but.
Yeah. I just can't. I can't do it, David.
Yeah.
I can't stomach the thought of Yadi in another uniform.
Okay.
But we'll see what happens. I know one thing for certain. They won't ask me.
No? You're not on their speed dial?
I'm not, no. Sports Saturday is done. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize here on WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. The station you can count on. It is 10 o'clock.